Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Here on Insight, we love a good story. Stories have a way of connecting us, transporting us, giving us a window into worlds we might not otherwise see. If you're looking for an opportunity to take in a few good stories under the starry skies of the Sierra, the 39th annual Sierra Storytelling Festival is a place you'll want to be. It's happening Friday and Saturday next week, June 26th and 27th at the North Columbia Schoolhouse in Nevada County. Samantha Hinrichs is president and board of directors of the North Columbia Schoolhouse, and Michael D. McCarty is one of this year's featured storytellers. Welcome to you both.
Thank you so much. Great to be here, Vicky.
Well, Samantha, I want to start off with just learning a little bit about the North Columbia Schoolhouse. What is its history and when did it become a cultural center for Nevada City?
Well, it's a historic one-room schoolhouse. It's on the National Registry of Historic Buildings. So it's the classic white and green with the bell tower. And it was built in the mining era. And, let's see, 1849, I think. So quite a long time ago. And then it was a school up until 1980. And then the laws changed and the new earthquake codes were put in. And so a group of architects who lived in the area who moved up there as part of kind of a resurgence of interest in Nevada County, they turned it into a nonprofit. And so since 1982, it's been a nonprofit bringing arts to a very rural area of Nevada County and very successfully for a long time.
So this festival is almost four decades running. How did it get started?
So some people might know Gary Snyder or Jack Kerouac and Allen Ginsberg. So they were all buddies, and Gary Snyder moved up to North Columbia area. Some other poets and authors moved up to the area. One was Steve Sanfield, and Steve Sanfield was a storyteller and a poet, and he brought storytellers from around the nation, and they started a festival. And we have a purpose-built outdoor amphitheater that is for live storytelling. So there, while there's the one-room schoolhouse, most of the storytelling takes outside under the stars next to a beautiful lawn and with the breezes coming through. It's really lovely.
39 years and counting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds just amazing. Michael, you're one of the featured storytellers. Tell us about your history as a storyteller. When did you become one?
That's a good story. probably, according to my mother, as long as I could talk. And I grew up with stories. My mother was from Barbados. And as long as I can remember, and I have clear memories from 2 years old, my mother always read me or told me stories. It was a given every single day. So in 1992, I was introduced to Joel Ben Izzy, and he was introduced to me as a professional storyteller. I said, "You do what? People pay you to tell stories? How you do that?" So I picked his brain, and I said then and there, I'm going to do this. My motto was going to be, have mouth, will run it. And I've been running my mouth around the country and around the world ever since.
And we are all better for it.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, Samantha, how did you get connected to Michael and ask him, hey, be part of the festival?
Well, we have a storyteller that's on our committee, and then we send our committee members to other national and regional storytelling festivals, a lot from the Bay Area Storytelling Festival. And we'd heard about Michael, and we had him a few years back, and we just fell in love with him, and he just is such a huge, wonderful, vibrant personality, just eminent. It's just like love and joy to everyone that he meets. And so we're really glad to have Michael back. And generally, we need to see a teller because we're quite picky about our storytellers, even though we're not the largest festival. We're not like the National Storytelling Festival in Tennessee, but we're ranked in that same kind of group of as far as prestige. And so all of our tellers have told all over the world at the Kennedy Center, at Washington, D.C. One of our storytellers is from Minneapolis, and he's been on NPR a fair amount of time. So, and that's Kevin Kling. But we, I know. He's going to be back. I'm so excited. Kevin Kling is so fun. So, and they're theater people. They are writers. They're comedians. And so they, Michael knows this. He does the same thing. You've got to have your life be full to be a storyteller, to make it interesting.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael, you don't only share stories yourself. You also help others find their voices, find their own stories. We all have stories, even if we don't think we do. And so you help inspire people to go within. And one of the ways you do that, you worked in California prisons as part of the Arts and Corrections Program, teaches those who are incarcerated to find and develop and tell their own stories. How did you get involved with that program?
Well, the Arts and Corrections Program, when I came into storytelling in 92, the Arts and Corrections Program was going on. And a friend of mine who I met when I first came in named Zoop, he was a part of that. But that wasn't anything I was ready for at the time. And then the program was dissolved. And then in 1992, 94, it was resuscitated. I got that date wrong. It was 2004. And I got two calls, one from Zoot, who was working with the Muckenthaler Cultural Center out of Fullerton, and another was from Quetzal, who was working with ACTA, Alliance for California Traditional Arts, out of Fresno. And both asked me, would you like to go to prison and teach storytelling? I was like, yes! I was made to go to prison. Storytelling. So I started, and I've been in 14 prisons so far. Up and down the state, teaching and helping people find their story. Because in order, for instance, if somebody's going before the parole board, they have to be able to tell their story. When they get out, reconnecting with family and friends, going for a job interview, they have to be able to tell their story. So once I get the guys and gals, because I'm in a women's prison also, they get it. They grok in fullness, as it were. And so I've been doing it long enough. I've seen a bunch of my guys get out. None of the ladies have gotten out that I've heard from, but a bunch of my guys have gotten out and are doing very, very well.
And they now know how to tell their own stories and have that confidence to do that, which is just amazing. Also happening this weekend, you brought this book in, Samantha. It is The Tapestry Project, the San Juan Ridge Tapestry Project. It's going to be on display this weekend. This book is just so vibrant and exquisite. Just if you can help listeners visualize what the Tapestry Project is.
Okay, so I want you to first visualize the old-fashioned tapestry that's on linen and with wool thread. Then I want you to imagine a schoolhouse and probably 10 or 12 people sitting around it and taking that wool thread and stitching those things. Then I want you to imagine a beautiful river scene of the South Yuba River, or maybe a scene from the North San Juan Fire Department, or maybe a scene from one of the ceremonies that we do where there's people dancing and there's corn stalks and stuff. So hundreds of people have sewn together the stories of the San Juan Ridge, which is a very rich cultural area because all these people moved there over multiple decades. You know, there was the first indigenous people, then there was the gold rush, and then there was kind of this cultural rush that happened in the 70s. And these tapestries were designed by Marcia Stone, and she died a year ago, and her book, they made a book of the tapestries, was the book signing was on her death day in May 28th. And so the book is an incredible storytelling of us literally and figuratively stitching the stories together. And it's centered at the North Columbia Schoolhouse, I mean, partially because it's the fiscal sponsor, but because it's a cultural center. And so the tapestries, some of them were stitched there or at the library, and they will be up shown there, and the books will be at the Sierra Storytelling Festival.
Are tickets still available for the festival next week?
Yeah, absolutely. You can get them online, of course, at sierrastorytellingfestival.org. I have a feeling Friday night's going to sell out, but
Hop on it.
Yeah, so hop on it. But then you can also buy tickets at the door for Saturday day. And then there's like Nevada City's got so much going on, but you can have a great bite to eat in one of our wonderful restaurants and hop on the river and, you know, come to the festival too.
Michael, I can tell you're looking forward to it.
Oh, yes. I had a ball the last time. I can't wait to do it again.
And Michael's teaching a workshop on Friday. So if you want to own your own story, show up on Friday afternoon early at 1 o'clock.
I want to learn from Michael.
Funky good time.
And have a funky good time. Well, Michael and Samantha, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Vicki. I appreciate you.
Take care. Have a day divine. And that's the end of that.
Samantha Henricks is president of the board of directors of the North Columbia Schoolhouse, and Michael D. McCarty is one of this year's featured storytellers. The 39th annual Sierra Storytelling Festival is taking place next Friday and Saturday, June 26th and 27th in Nevada County. We have more information on our Insight page. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple or Spotify. And if you want to join the conversation, send us an email. We're at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Andrew Garcia, Sarit Lashinsky, and editor Jen Picard. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones, and our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.